Good evening, everyone. Thank you all very much for braving the heatwave outside to come to this talk on global warming. I'm absolutely delighted to welcome Dr. Ken MacArthur, who's one of the world's leading climatologists, and we are delighted that he has found time to join us this evening to tell us more about his pioneering work. Over to you now, Ken.
Thanks for that warm introduction, Marianne. Well, I'm going to start off by outlining what is actually happening in the Himalayas. I'll then be moving on to talking about how the experience there fits into the larger scheme of things, the bigger picture of global climate change. So, hopefully, by the end of the evening, we will all have a greater understanding of the need to take the pressure off our planet. Now, the Himalayas contain the largest store of water outside the polar ice caps, and they feed seven great Asian rivers, including the Mekong and the Ganges. But, as you can see from the images coming up on the screen right now, today this vast area is in crisis. Some would view it as nothing short of a catastrophe, in fact. The glaciers, which regulate the water supply to these rivers, are melting, and they are melting fast. In fact, they are retreating at a rate of about 10 to 15 meters every year. Now, the rapid melting of these glaciers will first increase the volume of water in rivers, causing widespread flooding. As you can imagine, these raised water levels will leave those many people living on floodplains particularly vulnerable. However, in a few decades, this situation will change, and the water level in rivers will decline. So, in effect, the peoples of India, China, and Nepal could experience flooding followed by droughts in coming decades. So, what does this mean for the future of those hundreds of millions of people throughout China and the Indian subcontinent? After all, most of them live far from the Himalayas themselves. Well, the reality is that these people rely on water supplied from these rivers. Vast numbers of farmers, of course, need regular irrigation to grow their crops successfully. Glacial melting, in effect, means massive eco and environmental problems for the peoples of Western China, Nepal, and Northern India. So where does glacial melting in the Himalayas fit into the wider debate on global climate change? Well, we know that ice is receding everywhere. And this is because our planet is heating up. Nepal, China, and India are already showing signs of climate change. We know, for example, that Nepal's annual average temperature has risen by 0.06 degrees Celsius. We also know that three snow-fed rivers have shown signs of reduced flows. And the water level in China's Qinghai Plateau wetlands has affected rivers, lakes, and wetlands. And recent research indicates that India's Gangotri Glacier is receding by 23 meters, 75 feet, each year. So, our planet is indeed under pressure. In fact, the temperature of the Earth could rise by 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels in a little over 20 years. And projections for 2100 are that the Earth will have got warmer by between 1.4 and 5.8 degrees Celsius. Well, what does it mean for us? Well, it will certainly mean drought, where major water sources are fed by snow or glacial melt. We know, for example, that two-thirds of the world's people will be living in areas of acute water stress by 2025. And as for animal life, the consequences will be even more serious. The natural habitats of animals such as polar bears, seals, and walruses will shrink fast, putting them well on the road to extinction. In fact, in global terms, scientists have predicted that 1 in 10 animals and plants will have become extinct by 2050. That means 1 million species will have disappeared completely. So, in order to slow down the rate of melting, which we know is increasing year by year, we need to take immediate, serious action on climate change. This image is a representation of the Earth as it is today. a fossil fuel-driven planet. So, serious action means converting to progressively cleaner technologies. By that, I mean switching to technologies that produce little or no greenhouse gases, combined with the active removal of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. And I think that governments need to take a leading role in this. After all, they have to carry a great deal of responsibility for the state our planet has got itself into in the first place. Dealing with climate change at government level also involves following international agreements. But there are plenty of things that we as individuals can do that could make a dramatic difference. How did you all travel here for this talk this evening? Did you make the journey by car, by any chance? We know that if every driver took just one fewer car journey a week, it would cut down on carbon dioxide emissions from traffic by 13%. There are many other things we can do, all of which involve very little effort on our part, which can really make a difference. For example, we can recycle our household rubbish and remember to dispose of our household chemicals carefully. And by that, I mean not doing things like pouring paint down our sinks. So you see, we do have the power to make change and save the future of our planet. And that's fact, not fiction. Thank you very much indeed. Now, do we have any questions from the floor?